What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, FightfulSelect.com. It's the Backstage Report. I've been trying to remember at the beginning of each of these shows or during each of these shows that we're going to give you a little bit of a preview of something that's going to come on Fightful Select once it moves on to Fightful.com and it's there. I'll mention to you guys today, we're going to be doing WWE Network reviews. So when things like the Broken Skull Sessions or the AJ Styles Untold happen, we will review those sort of in clusters. So another piece of great content coming to you to FightfulSelect.com. We're working on a ton of different things, and I really, really hope you all enjoy it. But let's get to the wrestling news. On Friday, Fightful Select had reported that WrestleMania was going to be moved back 2 weeks. Now, this was like casually dropped to me. Somebody said, hey, so WrestleMania is April 11th. And I said, wait, that's a big deal. It's supposed to be in March. And for obvious reasons, they have to adjust it. But I was told April 11th. And then I was told second week of April. And when I was told second week of April, that indicated to me that maybe it would be a little bit more than just one night. WWE, I reached out to them for confirmation on the story late Thursday night. I did not hear back from them. It's kind of obvious why I did not hear back from them, because they had already put forth production of a big announcement featuring John Cena, Sasha Banks, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, where this would be announced on Saturday during some of the NFL games. And not just that, they announced next year and the following year's WrestleMania dates as well, which I had not heard of prior to the announcement. But they did confirm Fightful Story that WrestleMania would be pushed back the second week of April. I did have people that contacted me and asked if I'll be doing media there. If I'm vaxxed up, I'll be doing it. If I'm not, if I've only got one dose, I'm not going. And we don't even know what a media situation will even look like there, if they'll even do anything, if they might result to phoners or things like that. I think that a lot of companies have realized the benefit of doing digital media over the past year, especially for the sake of convenience, for the sake of safety, for the sake of being comfortable, also for production and things like that. I think that that's made a big impact on things. If I were AEW, I would keep doing virtual scrums as well. I mean, I think that's a way that you can make sure that everybody gets a question. You can make sure everything goes a little bit more smoothly. But yeah, WrestleMania moved back to the second week of April. We have some more WWE news, though. I learned details on new contract offers to members of Retribution. And these offers were made in the fall of 2020. And from what I was told, all the members of the stable, not including Ali because he wasn't in it yet, were offered three-year deals worth $250,000 per year. And this is significantly lower than a lot of the deal offers that were made in the last 2 years with all the advanced competition on the scene. AEW showing up really, really spiked the offers that were being made. And for obvious reasons. Bit of a talent war, and not just that. When you have a company like AEW, the size of AEW that starts, well, they pull from a lot of different places. They pull from Impact, from ROH, from WWE, and now all those places have more money freed up to go after new talent. So obviously the state of the world has changed things in that regard, but some of the call-ups earlier last year were told that they may be able to renegotiate things down the line, specifically around WrestleMania time of this year, from what I've told. And of course, as we reported in the past, I've heard of numerous wrestlers in WWE who have opted to pass on renewing their contracts, instead waiting to see when their leverage would be better. And right now, leverage ain't better. WWE announced on Monday, January 11th, that Drew McIntyre tested positive for COVID-19. It was in quarantine, but he is far from the only one coming out of a busy holiday season. Another string of positive tests hit the COVID wrestling world, and one almost affected Impact Wrestling's Hard to Kill show, but they just barely got through on that one. But we're told that shows from WWE, AEW, and Impact were all affected, with several matches and appearances nixed as a result of positive tests and exposure and all that. There were a lot stemming from New Year's parties and gatherings and all that, and there were some heat being tossed around in that regard. Impact tapes a couple of months worth of shows this weekend, as I mentioned, throughout early next week. So a negative test, or a positive test rather, would affect them greatly and hold them off for months, effectively. But people from Raw, SmackDown, Impact, and AEW were affected. Although I can't necessarily say that it affected those shows specifically, because, like I said, Impact ended up being okay. As I mentioned, Impact taped, or is taping right now, and got in on Friday. They're doing stuff through early in the week. ROH has tapings that are going on right now, and they had their people come in on Saturday. They were doing some testing throughout the weekend. Pre-tapes Monday, and then I believe Tuesday and Wednesday is when they're putting content in the can. But WWE's still going live every week, and there's a lot of frustrated people at the Performance Center, which has been tradition since really this started. WWE has fumbled that and not handled it very, very well. And they've got people back at the Performance Center training full-time, 5 days a week, doing weekly COVID testing at the height of the pandemic. They had been doing virtual classes, then a few days a week. It is very demoralizing for a lot of the wrestlers in NXT to go through that and have their safety and the safety of their relatives put on the line just for the sake of training. Because as of right now, we are still at the height of the pandemic. Very, very frustrating. Very wild for a lot of these people. NXT did get the Thunderdome aspect of their presentation. Previously, they'd just been using recorded footage from other Thunderdomes, but they actually had live fans on screen for the Thunderdome last week. You had to provide a state-issued ID to gain access, and this was a different layout than previous WWE shows. So, a little bit different there. Raw finish on Monday. The finish for Raw was planned out whether or not Triple H was involved, according to sources. Save the flaming sledgehammer. I don't know that that was set. But Drew McIntyre was planned for the episode of Raw before contracting coronavirus and was set to face Randy Orton. However, we're told that the Alexa Bliss fireball finish was the plan all along, regardless of if it was Triple H or Drew McIntyre. But WWE had planned on Drew being there through last weekend when he tested positive. And for those wondering, the fireball was not computer-generated. It was just very heavily edited. Oh, man. Just so much WWE news this week. And we'll start a wrap of the WWE talk by revealing something that I came across in researching for Inside the Royal Rumble. If you haven't checked out that feature, please do. We learned of some of the things that happened in last year's match. Kaylee Ray of NXT UK was brought to the venue and rehearsal, but was never given a number to be in the match. Talent would get a notification within the Talent Relations app to come to rehearsal, but much of the NXT roster had no idea if they'd actually be in the show until the night before at said rehearsals. And she wasn't in the match. She wasn't there. You didn't find out until you got there at that rehearsal. So she did not necessarily make the cut, so to speak. Considering the travel issues WWE's facing, I would not expect her to be in this year's either. As far as setting up that Royal Rumble match, it was split up into two parts, and the roster and producers talked it out the night before the show at the hotel for roughly an hour or two. Those that we spoke to said that they did a light run-through, but not a full rehearsal, and then ran through their numbers again. The match was pre-written and worked out, but Tyson Kidd and Adam Pearce helped put the match together with heavy input from the women that were also involved in the Royal Rumble. This also jives with a lot of what I was told about the heavy input from the men's side of things and what they were allowed to do in that regard. Because even though you got Michael Hayes, Shane McMahon, and Jamie Noble putting it together, the men's Royal Rumble, I was told that the actual participants contributed big time. Again, check out the Inside the Royal Rumble feature. I'm so proud of that. If you guys like it, I might do another one next year. I might keep doing this. I might keep the ball rolling. Don't know if there'll be 11,000 words, but I've already had some unique opportunities presented as a result of this feature that I'm very excited that we might be able to share with you guys. But Yeah, the Royal Rumble is such a fun time of year, and I'm very excited about it. Moving on, Impact Wrestling did run Hard to Kill this weekend. Matt Cardona showed up, and it was said on commentary that he's with Impact Wrestling, which is true for at least this week. We are told that as of now, Cardona does not have a full-time contract with Impact and is working this week's television tapings. But I think it's a great idea to bring him in, and it makes all the sense in the world. It made all the sense in the world for Chris Bay to do the New Japan spot, and apparently that was cleared with Scott D'Amore before he even heard about it. When I spoke to him, he said that he got the offer from New Japan USA to come in and do the stuff, and he was reading through it. He was like, man, this sounds really awesome. This sounds really cool, but there's no way it's going to happen. And at the bottom of the message, it said, oh, by the way, we've already cleared this with Scott D'Amore. And he was like, well, then hell yeah, I'm in, 110%. And man, I love the ambition that you see out of Chris Bay. And he's such a team player. He said that even being considered for that type of spot to help rebuild that relationship between New Japan and Impact was as important to him as being in the actual tournament, because that showed that a lot of people trusted in him and had confidence in him. And if you've ever seen him work, if you've ever talked to him, if you've ever seen what kind of person that he is and the way that he carries himself and the confidence that he has, but the respect that he also has, it's not tough to see why Impact Wrestling and New Japan were both like, yep, we want that guy. And I mean, not just that, he's a guy that had interest from AEW. And he's all aboard Impact Wrestling. It'd be real easy for him to be, well, you know what? I'll wait this out and then I'll sign with AEW. No, he's saying, yeah, I'd love to do stuff with AEW, but I want to carry the Impact flag there. I want to represent Impact Wrestling there while I do it. Got a lot of respect for a guy like that. When you sign on the dotted line, you give it your all. I've just got so much respect for Chris Bay. Please check out that interview. He was fantastic. I've got to talk to him more this year. Like, usually I try to limit my interviews to one per year per person, but that ain't happening with Chris Bay. I have got to interview him again later this year, because there's just so much to get into, and that guy is going to be so huge. He is can't miss. He is must watch. Go check him out. Unreal stuff. Injury updates, and there are a lot of them. Obviously, Drew McIntyre was pulled from the January 11th WWE Raw due to COVID-19. But Kofi Kingston was also pulled from that show. Apparently, he broke his jaw in mid-January. If it's from the match that they claim that it's from, which was against the Hurt Business, that means that he would have worked after that. You want to talk about tough. The guy was spitting out pieces of his teeth against the Hurt Business in December, wrestled Morrison and The Miz on Legends Night. Hope that he has a smooth recovery. Of course, we hate seeing him out of action. He was sidelined for almost 3 months in 2020 as they started the Big E push. He's a guy that you want on your television program whenever you can. There's three specific acts that were announced as being a part of a new project. You have Indu Share, who have been off TV since June 6 when Sarav spoiled an NXT show. You have Kavita Devi, who had ACL surgery on August 15th, 2019. And you have Jinder Mahal, who had knee surgery in June 2020 and was left out of that WWE draft pool. However, when WWE announced the Superstar Spectacle on January 26, 2021, all of them were listed as being a part of this. Now, I don't know the injury status on Jinder Mahal or Kavita. I know that there wasn't necessarily an injury injury that sidelined Indu Share, but hopefully Jinder Mahal's better. Hopefully Kavita's better. I really thought that Jinder Mahal had a spot in a short-term title feud with Drew McIntyre last year, and Kavita, I mean, it's proven that she gets attention for WWE via her YouTube clips. So those could possibly be huge for WWE as it relates to the NXT India situation. Alex Shelley was pulled from Hard to Kill. Now, here's the thing. Alex Shelley was supposedly injured at Bound for Glory in October, right? After Bound for Glory, he ended up working a match with Triple XL that aired in December, but he has not wrestled other than that since October 11th, since the weekend of the collective. So I don't know that this is something new. I don't know if he's sick. I don't know what's going on. I just know that outside of that one taped match that aired in December, the guy hasn't wrestled since before, well before Bound for Glory. So don't know what's going on there. Hope that he gets better soon because you hate to see that. Chris Statlander, she had a high-grade ACL tear on the June 10th Dynamite and didn't have surgery until like late July. But she provided a January update and said that she would say that her knee is close to being healed, but it's such an extensive and long recovery process that sometimes it takes up to a year to get back. So we could be looking at missing 5 more months of Chris Statlander, but as always, we hope that she's feeling better, and we hope that we get to see her soon, especially in that AEW women's division that needs her and would really thrive with her being a part of it. I may have mentioned this last week as far as contracts go. Bandido, Amy Rose, Mark Haskins, Sumi Sakai, Tracy Williams signed new deals. Also, I need to reiterate, Ethan Page is not with Impact Wrestling. He has not been with Impact Wrestling. They filmed the Karate Man Ethan Page story last November, and he was done on January 1st. But he did not seem happy with it. He did not seem happy with how it ended up, as you guys saw and felt. And he didn't want to do Karate Man. He didn't even want to do that. He pushed for them not to. Don Callis was a big fan of it. But, yeah, didn't want them to do it. I'll have more on that this week on Fightful Select. Taya Valkyrie's contract could be up right now. She reported last year on her own that in 2019 she signed a 2-year deal. That would have her up right around now. There were pictures of her on her own Instagram getting on a plane. But I don't know if she's working the tapings. PW Insider says she is. I have not heard one way or another. But hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Backstage Report. There's so much news to get into. We got so many scoops coming this week. I want to thank you guys so much for your support. You guys supporting us is how we're able to get these stories, how we're able to make this stuff happen. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that. I had a major life event happen this week, and it's a good one. And it's because of the support that you guys provide us. So thank you very much. I appreciate all of you. Until next time, guys, we're out.